We're thankful again this morning for our opportunity to be here at Bethel Church. I'd like to say first thanks to the church for extending the invitation for me to come this way. It's been a true blessing to be here. For those of you members who have made me feel welcome and feel at home, I appreciate that. I'm not too keen on going to places that I don't feel at home. I have been to places where I didn't feel at home and I don't have a desire to go back. I want to thank your pastor, Brother Ronald, Sister Karen, for so graciously taking me in their home and taking care of the things that I needed and the things that I wanted. And I appreciate that. We stopped at Walgreens last night, Brother Ronald did, to give me some Cokes. I'm a self-confessed Coca-holic. And he made sure I had the leaded version. I don't like the unleaded version, I like the leaded version. I also like to thank those of you who came by and spoke words of encouragement to me, that you enjoyed the sermon, that you appreciated what I had to say. That is encouraging. I know that I'm not a gifted minister as these two men are. I'm not as well versed in the Bible as they are. I haven't been doing it as long, and I still don't think if I can do it that long, I will still be as well versed as they are. But I can tell you, I love the Lord. And I do appreciate everything that's been said and done. I appreciate you keeping house for the Lord. The most important thing you'll ever do in this life is to keep house for the Lord. There may be some more important things in your life, but nothing is important as keeping the Lord's house. For just a little while this morning, I'd like to call your attention to a passage found in Joshua chapter 5. And the first two verses of Joshua chapter 6. I'd like to read those for you, and then the Lord will bless. We will try to speak from those verses. Starting in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot. For the place whereon thou standest is holy, and Joshua did so. Now Jericho," starting in chapter 6, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." I don't know who selected it this morning, but I sure appreciate it because it sure goes along with what I want to try to speak on this morning. Someone, I think, over in this area selected number 555. I know who holds tomorrow. In that song, it says, I don't know much about tomorrow. But let me tell you something this morning. I do know some things about tomorrow. I'm not a psychic. I don't read tarot cards. I don't have ESP. I do have ESPN, but I don't have ESP. But from this passage, my friends, I'm going to tell you five things that I know about tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow. You know, we're not guaranteed a tomorrow. We're guaranteed this breath. This may be our last one. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. But if tomorrow comes, I want to tell you five things I know about tomorrow from these verses I read unto you. As we read this passage here, Joshua is leading the nation of Israel, and they're about to do battle with the most formidable foe that they will face up until this time, and this was the walled city of Jericho. Oh, they had a great wall. They had men on the wall. They had warriors ready for battle, and this wall was impenetrable. And they're about to face a battle that without the Lord's help, they're not going to win. Let me say, number one, that I know about tomorrow, you're going to face battles. You're going to face battles in your life. Since I've been here, I met a gentleman at the back door this morning. He said, "I apologize for not being here. I appreciate you being here with us, but I've had some surgery and hadn't been able to be here." He's facing some battles. We all face battles. I told you Thursday night, my dad passed away July the 20th. My mother just had open heart surgery on March the 16th. We face battles. I have an older daughter who has a neurological disorder. And we face battles. We're going to face battles in this life, friends. We're going to face them. They're going to come. Job said that man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Jesus Christ told his disciples that in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. You see, friends, we're going to face many battles. And when I think about the future of our country, and I appreciate the prayer, praying for our country. If you'd have told me back when I was a young boy that we were going to face in America what we're facing now, I would have told you you didn't have any sense. All the liberal agenda that's being pushed, that's the battles that we're going to face. And if the Lord takes us home, friends, I promise you, if the world continues, we have loved ones that's going to face them. I am more concerned about the future for my daughters than I am for myself. What will they face unless the Lord comes back? What will they see in their lifetime? You who are around my age, we grew up watching Andy Griffith and I Love Lucy and those type television shows. Now what do you see on TV? How much have things changed? I can't fathom what they have on television now. See, I grew up in the good time. I grew up when cartoons were cartoons. Saturday morning was a great time for young children. Now cartoons are a bunch of trash. That's what they are. Just call it what it is. See, we're going to face battles, friends. They're coming. We're going to have health issues. We may have financial issues. We may have marital issues, but they're going to come. We're going to face battles in this life. Now, let me tell you number two, because number two is wonderful. You're not alone. And these battles in your life, you are not alone. You ever felt like you're alone? You ever felt in the position that I'm the only one here? Have you ever felt like the prophet, "Lord, I'm the only one"? It's just me. I'm by myself. Friends, even when you're by yourself, you're not alone. You're not alone. I love Genesis chapter 39. I love the story of Joseph. It's a difficult story. A difficult account that I have problems dealing with had it been me. But I was doing what the Lord would have me to do, and so many things happened bad. But you know what it says? There's four times in Genesis chapter 39 where it says the Lord was with him. else do you want with it? Brother Rollins already stated, I'll be traveling home this evening. But you know what? I'm not traveling alone. My Lord will be with me. I apologize. You see, I taught school for many years. And you know what I found out in all my years of teaching? The very kids who needed love were the hardest to love. I've had kids tell me, Coach Myers, nobody loves me. Let me tell you something, friends. If you're God's child, He loves you. And the Bible says that He will never leave you nor forsake you. There's not a time that He's not with you. You understand that? You may be all by yourself. You may think you're on the backside of the desert and no one's there, but God's with you. You're not alone. I read in Psalm 139. This is how it reads. Verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. And then he says in verse 7, Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, Thou art there. And friends, that's not talking about that place where Satan resides. That's a living hell here in this earth. That we so many of God's children are making their life hell here on earth. And he says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. You see, friends, he said, there's nowhere, God, that I can go. There's nowhere that I can go that You are not with me. Friends, that's comfort to this old boy's heart. That's also a frightening thought, because the Lord knows everything about me, even my thoughts. That's a frightening thought. But yet, He's acquainted. You know, if you don't know much about me, that's probably a good thing. If you knew a lot about me, you would have invited me to come. But I'm what I refer to as a man's man. I'm a macho man. I'm a man. There's not one cell in my body that's not man. I think like a man. I act like a man. But you know what? I've tried to hide some things from my wife because I didn't want her to know that I'm concerned about things, because she knows I'm worried and concerned. She's really going to be concerned. But you know what? God knows. And God's with me. God knows when to speak to me. And friends, He has spoken to me at times through different means. I've never heard His audible voice. No, I have not. But friends, I know He spoke to me. The day my dad had surgery, and my dad, I've already told you how close my dad and I were, I began to weep bitterly. So I left the room. I walked down the hall, and there was a gentleman from our community who was there, and his door was open, and the nurse walked in, and I saw that he was awake. So I walked in to speak to him, an older gentleman. He said, Coach, everything's going to be all right. That calmed my fears. I told him on several occasions that those words of encouragement meant so much to me. You see, friends, we're not alone. We are not alone. God is with us, and he'll always be with us. Number three, you see, when Joshua comes, he's the leader of the nation of Israel. And he asks this captain of the host that he sees here, he says, are you for us or for our enemy? And he answers, no. Well, no what? I mean, you get what he's saying? I mean, if I ask you a question, are you for me or not? You can either say yes or no, I hope. But he says, are you for us or our enemy? He says, nay. But he says, as captain of the host, I have come to take over. Friends, no matter what some of our leaders in this country may think, or other countries may think, our local leaders may think, friends, they are not in charge. God is in charge. If you didn't hear what Brother Dan said last night, Nebuchadnezzar had to learn a lesson, my friends, but he learned that lesson. And that lesson was that he had not done anything, but God had done it for him. And it's all by the grace of God. And God does his will. He does his will, friends. You can't stay God's hand. You can't ask him, what doest thou, friends? God is in charge. And I tell you, friends, that's what brings me comfort to know, even in the future, as bleak as the future of the United States looks, and it does look bleak to me, and I'm not a pessimist, I'm not a negativist, but I am a realist. I do see things the way they are. And friends, I see that we're not going in any direction other than downhill. But let me tell you something. God is still on his throne. You know what happened in the days of Israel? Israel was asked for a king one time, and you know what? They granted it. God granted them a king. And you know what? He also granted them not so good a king. Taught them a lesson, didn't it? I'm not here to say that's what's happened here, but I believe, friends, that we may be under God's judgment. But you know what? God is still with us, and God is still in charge. He's in charge. There's a scripture found that I read right here that where the captain of hosts tells him to take off his feet, for where you stand is holy ground. Does that sound like something else? Is that familiar text to you? Do you read in Exodus chapter 3 where there's a man by the name of Moses who sees something I've never seen before? I'm not a pyromaniac, but I've set things afire before. I've set myself afire, by the way, trying to put a fire out. Caught my pants on fire. It's dead of the winter, and I went and jumped in a mud hole to put it out. But you know, I haven't seen anything that was burned, Brother Dan, and not consumed. You know that bush was not consumed? You know what that is telling me? Although it's expending energy and giving out heat, it's not consumed. That's a type of God, if you're asking me. It's a type of our God. That although he expends energy, friends, it's not consumed. In other words, he's still as powerful today as he's ever been. His power is not diminished. God hadn't changed. He hadn't lost his power. He hadn't lost control. There are men and women in this world who think they're in control, and maybe they are in some fashion, but when it comes down to it, God is in charge. Number four. He tells him here to take his shoes off, for where you stand is holy ground. You understand what made that holy ground? What made the holy ground in Exodus chapter 3 when he told him to take your shoes off for you're standing on holy ground? What made this holy ground where Joshua was? What made it holy ground? Is it because a certain people owned it? It's a certain place? No, friends, let me tell you where holy ground is. It's when you're in the presence of the Lord. That's holy ground. Now, let me ask you a question. I just read Psalm 139 for you. Where can you go then? That's not holy ground. This place right here, just because it's here, this is the pulpit, doesn't make it holy ground. But if God is here, now you're standing on holy ground. And I don't know about you, but since Thursday night, I have felt God's presence here in this place. Friends, you're standing on holy ground because you're in God's presence. I get amazed at people who have different personalities. Now, listen, hear me out. When I say they have different personalities, they put their church face on when they come to church. You ever done that? Boy, I tell you, when I was a teenage boy, I could do it. I could lay on the charm. Kind of like my dad was principal of school one time and had a kid at school and got in trouble, and his mom came to the school, irate with my dad for paddling the boy for what he had done, and the mother looked at my dad and said, Mr. Myers, said, my son wouldn't do that. He's an angel. My dad said, well, ma'am, the only thing I can tell you is when he gets to school, he sprouts horns. You see, I was the same way. I knew how to behave in church. But you know what? I behaved differently when I got away from the church. Shouldn't be that way. I should behave away from the church same way I behave when I'm at the church. You see, you got to understand, the Bible says we're ambassadors for Christ. You know what that means? We represent Christ wherever we go. Think about that. We represent Christ wherever we are. And if Christ is with you, is there some places you would rather not go? There are some places I'm not going to go. I don't want to go. And number two, I don't want the Lord to know that I'm there, but he will know that I'm there. Number five. Number one, you got battles to face in this life. Number two, you're not alone. Number three, God is in charge. Number four, wherever you are, you're standing on holy ground if you're in the presence of God. And number five, boy, this is sweet. You know, I've said it either last night or Thursday night, that there's a lot of people who will sing a song. They will sing it, but they really don't believe what the song says. And I don't really understand why you want to sing something you don't believe. We sing a song down home, and I don't think you've sung it here. Maybe you did. Maybe I'd be telling myself I wasn't paying attention, but I thought I paid attention to every song. But it's called Victory in Jesus. You see, friends, here's something sweet. He tells Joshua here in verse 1 of chapter 6, he says, now Jericho was straightly shut up, but because of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, listen to what he says here now. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. Joshua, you hadn't fought the battle yet, friend. You hadn't fought against this foe that you think can't be beat. But I have given you the victory. Oh, that's sweet. How many of you know how the nation of Israel defeated Jericho, by the way? Have you read that? You know, I've been in some fights in my life, not proud of them, but I never won a fight that I didn't use my fist. I never whipped anybody with my hands in my pockets, if you know what I'm talking about. Now, I got some that I got whipped pretty good. Didn't want to fight those guys again. But I don't think I've ever heard of a battle being won by pitchers and trumpets. But that's how this battle was won. The nation of Israel was to walk around the wall of Jericho once a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they were to walk around seven times. And they were to blow the trumpets. And you know what happened when they blew the trumpets? The walls came tumbling down. And they ran. The men of Jericho ran. The mighty men of valor ran. You know why? Because they knew the Lord was with them. And they knew they could not defeat the Lord. You understand, you plus the Lord is invincible. Not because of you, but because of the Lord. You plus the Lord equals a whole lot. See, the victory's already been won. There are many people today who are trying to fight a battle that's already taken place and been won, and that victory has been secured. Friends, I tell you, am I concerned about those who are out there who have not come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ? No, friends, because he's going to teach them. Every one of his children will know him. They will know him from the least to the greatest. Friends, he will speak to their heart. He will speak to their heart. As I said last night, somewhere between conception and birth, he will speak to their heart. And you know what? He will say one word, live, and they will live. We're talking eternal. That's what we're talking about. See, that victory has been won. I sing victory in Jesus because I believe that's where the victory came from. And I believe that victory's already been won. I believe that Jesus Christ paid the price. He paid it all. And all to him I owe. Friends, I find much comfort in the scripture to get through this life. Heard Elder Lonnie Mazingo preach. In fact, one of the sermons I listened to on the way up here. I heard him preach it, but I also listened to it on the way up here. And he titled the sermon, Precious Things. And he named five things that he thought was precious. And the fifth one was bluegrass music. Now, he said especially bluegrass gospel. Now, I'm not a fan. I like music, but bluegrass is not one of my favorites. It's okay, but not one of my favorites. But there's a bluegrass song that's entitled, I'm Using My Bible for a Roadmap. I'm Using My Bible for a Roadmap. You ever heard it? Now, friends, if you think that means that this is going to get you to heaven, that's not what it means. But this is a way to get through this life. You need some cheering up. You need some encouragement in this life. Here it is. Pick it up and read it. You see, I find a lot in this few verses that I read to you. I find that I understand. Yet there's times in my life when I go, Lord, why? Why is everything going wrong? Why is everything going wrong? You ever heard the expression that things happen in threes? Seems like at my house it happened in fours and fives sometimes. The stove quits, the washer messes up, you know, and everything else comes undone. You tell me a person in the Bible who didn't face a battle. What about old Job? What about Job? What about those three Hebrew men called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And boy, I love that passage. I read that passage quite often. You know why? Because there is something there, my friends, that cheers my heart to know when I go through the fire, there's someone with me too. Because you remember what that king said? He said, I cast in three, but lo, I see four. And what did he say about that fourth one? He said he's likened unto the Son of God. Now, we had a little conversation at Brother Ronald's house this morning about translations of the Bible. There is one version out there, if you read that verse, it says he's likened unto the Son of God. Sons of God's, little G-S. That changes that, my friends. You know who was in the fire with them? The Son of God. Jesus himself was in that fire. You know, I told you I caught myself a fire one time. You know what? I got burned. It burned my pants leg, and it burnt the hair on my legs. And I smell like smoke. What about those three Hebrew children? No hair was singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. That's because Jesus was with them. See, friends, we're going to face battles, but God is with us. He knows what we're going through in life. You don't have to acquaint him with how you feel. You don't have to acquaint him with what's going on because he knows what's going on. He knows everything. You may hide it from the world. I know people who hide things well, but you're not hiding it from God. He knows what you're facing. Oh, look at all the disciples and what they faced. You know how Peter died? Peter was crucified, from my understanding. Peter was crucified. What about John? John was boiled. Boy, well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Nothing like good scalding water. They all went through the fire. They went through the flood, my friends, but God was with them. And God's with you. You're not alone in this world. Remember, you're going to face battles. You're not alone. God is in, he's on his throne, friends. God is still on his throne. He's a God and he changes not. He is the God. And he doesn't change. Friends, wherever you go, if the Lord's with you, you're standing on holy ground. And to take your shoes off is to do reverence to God. That's what it means. And remember, the victory has already been won. It's done. The victory has been won. That battle was fought, friend, and it was fought for you. You don't have to face that battle. It's already been won. That war has been won. Let me put it that way. You got battles to face, but that's not one you got to face because he did it for you. Friends, I tell you, in times like these, we need to find ourselves endeavoring to read and study God's word much more. You say, Brother Ricky, I'm not a preacher. So what? If you're a child of God, you ought to have a desire to know more about him. And you know how you know more about someone? You read a love letter they've written to you. How many of you, on the sound of my voice, have love letters that your spouse wrote you? I do. I got a box at home with the letters my wife wrote me when we were dating. She was in college and I was teaching. And you know what? I go back and read them from time to time. I like to read those love letters where she tells me just how handsome I am and how much she loves me and can't wait to spend the rest of her life with me. And I tell you, she's probably 0-for-3 now. But I love to read them. Also love to read this, because this tells me about how much God loves me. You know how much he loves me? You know how much God loves me? John 3:16. Oh, I probably, everybody on the sound of my voice, it's 8 years old or older, can quote John 3:16. You see, that's what it's all based on. Jesus coming down into this world is based on L-O-V-E. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, I hope you understand that we're going to have battles in this life. You're not alone. God is in charge, and where you're in the presence of God, you're on holy ground. But also remember, the victory has already been handed to you. I don't know about you. I'm closing right now, Brother Dan, so you can get your sword ready. I don't know about you, but I hate to lose. I hate to lose. Somebody asked me one time, Brother Ricky, how much do you hate to lose? That's why I'm fat, because I hate to lose weight. That's how much I hate losing, because you lose weight, see? That's just a joke, but I promise you, I'm very competitive. And I like to be on the winning team. I was very fortunate in high school to play on a state championship team, play on a team that won many games, and I love it. I love it. There's four county schools there in our county, and the other three never beat me. All the boys that played, when I see them, they can't say, boy, I remember that time we whooped y'all, because they didn't. See, I love it. And you see, that's good news. We're on a winning team. Oh, friends, that ultimate victory has been won for us. We're on the winning team because we're his children. Friends, victory in Jesus. Isn't that precious? If I close my eyes in death today, I know that my Savior reigns and he rules. And friends, it's going to be that way. It's that way now, and it's going to be that way forever. Thank you so much this morning again for your kind order and intention. May the Lord bless you. It's my prayer.